Welcome to Falcons Live Inside the Draft on AtlantaFalcons.com. My name is Chris Domino. Happy to spend a few minutes with Falcons General Manager Thomas Dimitroff. Thomas, before we talk about how you ended up moving up to 22 to grab Desmond Trufant, let's talk quickly. You sent me a text late last night that said, he's our type of guy. That's only five words, but I think it probably means a heck of a lot more than that. Why don't you tell Falcons fans what it means?
We've been following and monitoring his career for the last 2 years. When you watch an individual like this, how he moves around on the field, you get caught up with that because he's got a combination of athleticism, speed, power, everything about him. But it's also the way he carries himself on the field. We've talked about this year in and year out about urgent athleticism. After we went and worked him out recently, we realized walking away from there, this guy epitomizes urgent athleticism. The way that he approaches a game, the way that he works on his craft, as we mentioned last night, the way that he sticks his foot in the ground and breaks on balls, everything about him is urgent, and he's trying to get better. We like that a lot about him. We think that he's the type of guy we can continue to build around here, and we're fired up about it.
Cornerback's also a position, when you go look at film, not every ball's thrown in a guy's direction. What is he doing on those plays? I'm assuming you're trying to figure out why or why not to draft a guy. When you start to look at a bunch of video and film over years, don't you try to figure out what's his ability to be part of a play that maybe he wasn't originally going to be a part of?
It's what we say all the time. I mean, what he does 10 yards away can also affect what happens 10 more yards down the field, and I think that's very important. Again, raised in a football family, more than just the average football family. He has two brothers that play in the National Football League. He understands it very, very well. He understands the dedication and the commitment to be a pro. And that's something that's going to be working in his favor.
I heard he got rave reviews at the Senior Bowl as well, just the way he carried himself. There is something about maybe the way a guy carries himself that you know he's going to fit in with grown men once you get to this level.
There are a number of guys in the Senior Bowl that were impressive as far as their movement and athleticism. But that element of what Desmond Trufant brought to the table was something that I didn't think was paralleled by a lot in this year's class, and quite honestly, over a number of classes. I think the full picture here is something that's very impressive.
Let's talk about going up to 22 quickly then. Part of what you know is who you want, but you also have to figure out who else might want him and who else might jump up to get him. That's also part of the chess match game, especially when it's a singular round on a given night, is it not?
Yeah, this was one of the more active first rounds that we've been in. You know, 2011 aside, which really wasn't that active, we had things taken care of before.
Right.
There was a lot of moving around in this draft. Not only teams around us, teams calling us, we were calling a number of different teams, not only in the middle of the round, but all the way into the 20s, where we ended up doing the deal. I just think it was one of those things that we were so driven to acquire this individual that we were almost willing it to happen. And it was interesting because Smitty was whispering me, like he does on the sideline, we're going to win this game. And you know, Mike said, look, as much as this seems like there's a lot in front of us here, I believe we're going to get this guy. And so to his credit, we ended up pulling him off the board at 22.
You did not think he was going to be available at 30 is basically what it comes down to.
No question about it. I know that for a fact, as far as my communication with a number of different general managers, I know that there were a lot of people that were looking at him throughout the draft, throughout the first round, and I knew that there was going to be a nice run, apparently, on corners in that 20 to 32 range. Couldn't run the risk of it.
Day two starts, no third-round pick part of that deal, the possibility of moving back into the third round. I know that's some of the work that gets done before it actually, or while it's going on tonight as well. But you wanted and needed that second-round pick, did you not? You knew that moving up too far, now all of a sudden you're out of the second round, and that's not a combination you wanted to deal with.
No, we were very happy that we were able to maintain our second-round pick. We've been without the second-round pick for a couple of different situations, again, back in 11, but also with Tony Gonzalez when we traded for him. They've worked out well for us. But we really wanted to hold on to our second, and in where we were as a team right now and how we're looking to grow, that second round is going to be important for us. And, to get back into the third round, it's going to be a solid task. It's not going to be easy to do. And if we don't do that, we'll be fine because we feel like we have a number of picks in the fourth and on that we can continue to build this football
team. Last thing, when people, and I know the first round just seems to be its own separate entity, people will grade a draft before a guy plays it down based upon the first round pick. A draft class is a class. You do this, therefore I don't have to do this in the second, third, or fourth round. Isn't that really the way that a general manager has to think? What's my combination of players, at the end of the third day, not just at the end of the first day.
We talk about that all the time. This, again, we've mentioned chess match. This is a part of it. I guess you could call it part of the chess match, because it is about making sure that you have all the pieces that fit into place, and you have to have a really good understanding of what's in the draft and what may be there in the certain rounds that you pick. There may be some very good players at the top of a round and a half in front of you that you're not going to get a chance to touch. You have to be projecting to see what may be there for you, you know, a round and a half later. And I think that's up to the scouting staff, general manager, head coach, to truly hone in on that. And I think this staff does a heck of a job.
Last night when it ended, you got the guy you wanted. I know you have visions of how you'd like today to go, whether it's one pick or a multiple of picks in the second and third round. I'm assuming, again, you have that vision of, we do this right. If everybody's done their job, we have an opportunity at the end of day two to feel as good as we do at the end of day one.
Right. It's never going to be, the excitement of a number one pick. But when we're in the back of the room and we know what we're doing and we've been talking about it for months and months and months, if those picks fall into your lap, so to speak, and you're able to pull them off the board, it's a great feeling, whether it's the first round or whether it's the seventh round.
There he is, your Falcons general manager, Thomas Dimitroff. It's all part of Falcons Live Inside the Draft on AtlantaFalcons.com.